7654321.
Welcome to Sports Hour. Listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
It's day three of the semester here at Oswego State, and it's day three of WNYO Sports Hour. Aaron Valentino and Brandon Ladd here with you as always on this Wednesday. Brandon, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling amazing. What an amazing day for the SUNY Oswego campus. I was just talking to Dan Roberts of Laker Life, not Campus Life, and he told me that this is one of the biggest turnouts they've ever gotten for an involvement fair.
Yes,
ever.
And I do want to get to that. We do have to actually talk about that today. But joining us today, our first in-studio guest for the whole show, we had Michael Gross on yesterday. We had Abby on yesterday for a little bit of an impromptu guest. But today, our first guest for the entire show, my good assistant sports director, host of the 104 Sports Report, play-by-play and color man for various Oswego athletic events, Joey Palatsky. Joey, how are you?
Yes, sir. I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Lad, Aaron, thank you for joining me. And appreciate you guys having me on. And, let's get to talking sports. It's just what we do.
Joey, can I roast Aaron here for saying my good? Doesn't say friend, says assistant sports director.
Yeah, I guess that's
director.
All I am to Aaron these days, but yeah. It is what it is.
Well, Joe, we do have a lot to get into with you today. We're going to talk about a little bit later how you're growing to a Pitbull concert. We're going to talk about why you're missing the general interest meeting on Friday.
Sir.
But to backtrack to Ladd's point here about the involvement fair. The involvement fair was today, 10 to 3. We're sorry you missed it. Maybe this is your post-game involvement fair listen to, if that makes any sense.
It's a post-game show, yeah.
Yeah, the post-game show for the involvement fair. And I got to say, what an absolute success it was in my eyes. I was there from 11 to about 1:30 today. We had a great turnout. We got a bunch of different emails. Lad, you were freaking out by the amount of people that were coming up to you. I mean, just a great day altogether.
Yeah, I read a book last night, and it's by Dave Long, and he says, you're only as good as the people on your bus. And let's just say we got 70 people on the bus today for the Godian, so I'm a very happy person.
Hopefully all 70 of those people show up to the general interest meeting on Friday.
Even
6:00.
A third, though, and we're beating numbers from the past 5 years.
I think we're missing the point here, boys. Ladd was reading a book last night.
Ladd's always reading a book.
Really?
Always. Oh, Ladd's a big book guy.
I didn't know Ladd was a big book guy.
Yes, I'm a modern-day scholar.
Yeah, modern-day scholar.
Compared to Aristotle.
Joe, I didn't see you at the involvement fair today.
No, sir. I was at class. I was
The entire time.
I was down at Good Guys beforehand. You see the fresh fade on my head right now.
I do. Good
yes,
Guys.
Sir.
Yes, that is the Oswego spot for all the haircuts.
Yeah, I was down at the shop. Then I had broadcast news reporting, and now we're here in studio.
Oh, 329?
Yes, sir. With Professor Ricky.
Oh, he is the best. We took that last year. So we're so old now, lad. It's absolutely crazy. We got a lot to get to today on Sports Hour. We're going to have a lot of fun. Really happy that Joey is here. Let's get into what happened last night. We'll start with the New York Yankees. They get another win. They're 11th in a row, 5-4 the final against the Atlanta Braves. They got the day off today before they head to before they face the Oakland Athletics. And Joey, the Yankees just keep on rolling.
Yeah, I've been saying even when they were 41-41, I've been saying best team in baseball, and now they're really just proving me right, getting Rizzo and Gallo at the trade deadline. Really just changed the whole vibe in the clubhouse, and now this team's just winning. It's all they do. Even last night, the bullpen started to implode with Chapman there in the ninth. And even when he started to implode, it used to be when the bullpen starts imploding, things go downhill. Now the bullpen implodes, next guy comes in, and they just nail it down. Wandy Peralta came in with the bases loaded and 11 straight for the Yanks, and I got him winning the World Series personally.
I got to say this. If you told me in May Wandy Peralta would come in to save Aroldis Chapman's butt, I would say, who, what, where, when? And Wandy Peralta did just that last night. Chapman was erratic. He was out of control. No trust in the fastball. That's going to be a big storyline going into the playoffs. Slider after slider, it's just not going to work. Nobody's falling for it. So he allows a run. Wandy Peralta needs to get one out with the bases loaded, and he's able to get the job done. And I must say, what an at-bat against Freddie Freeman. Freeman fouls off four changeups, and Peralta's still able to get the final out.
This is just what they do. I mean, the Yankees just find these guys every year that work and figure it out and get them wins, and that's exactly what they did this year. Sometimes it's, you know, with guys that come out of nowhere like Gio Urshela a couple years back, or sometimes it's in two power-hitting Italians lad in Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, it helps. And this lineup last night, I think this is the healthiest this lineup has been. I don't know where Urshela fits in because Velasquez has done just okay while he's been playing here these past couple of weeks. I don't know where Torres is at. So right now, this might be the playoff lineup for the Yankees, and they're getting the job done.
I don't know what you do with Gleyber Torres when he comes back. With how hot Velasquez has been, I mean, you could slide Gio in there at third and, you know, over Rougned Odor, who's just been, you know, he's more of a veteran presence on the bench. And I mean, I don't know what the MLB rules are about having a bench guy come out for mound visits, but that really seems like where he is most valuable to this Yankees team. But Gio's supposed to be coming back against Oakland. And, yeah, but I mean, last night, just looking at the lineup, and I mean, even Tyler Wade, too, he's batting probably around 400 in the last month. He's been unbelievable. But this Yankees lineup last night was looking really good, and they got out there, and now it's 11 straight.
The Yankees will be at 11 straight for at least another day. They got a day off today before facing Oakland for a four-game or three-game set, Joey?
I believe it's four
games.
Yeah,
I believe it's four games as well because they're going to start on a Thursday. Moving over to the other team in Queens, the worst team in New York baseball right now. The New York Mets faced off against the San Francisco Giants last night to continue this absolute gauntlet of games they're through. We're talking about yesterday how we needed a good start out of Tyler McGill, and he gave us the exact opposite of that. The Mets lose by a final score of 8-0 last night, Brandon.
So I was hanging out with Brianna last night, and all we hear is expletive, expletive. And Brianna's like, what's going on? Is everyone okay? Is someone hurt? And I go, let me check the Mets score. I'll tell you exactly what's going on. And it was 6-0 in the third inning. So that was the night for the Mets. Expletive, expletive.
Yeah, McGill gave up the back-to-back homers to, I forget, I remember Brandon Belt was the second one to make it 6-0. And I turned it off, went upstairs and started watching New Girl because I couldn't make it through the rest of that game.
I mean, in all fairness, the Giants are one of the best teams in baseball. That's not necessarily that bad of a loss. And I mean, Brandon Belt out there, I don't know if you guys saw this morning, he announced that his grandmother passed away yesterday morning. 4 of 5, 2 home runs last night. Great game for him. I mean, even going out and getting Chris Bryant. I mean, no one had the Giants on their board coming into this year. And they're one of the probably top 5 World Series favorite teams right now out there. Gausman's unbelievable, too. They're really just putting it together on the West Coast. So it's really not that bad of a loss for the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a bad loss. It's 8-0. They are currently in the middle of, or at the end of, I should say, a gauntlet of 13 straight games against the Dodgers and Giants. I think literally they have won 2 of those games in total out of the 11 games they've played thus far, which is absolutely terrible. They got 2 more against the Giants with Taijuan Walker on the mound tonight for New York, and they're looking to turn it around. Francisco Lindor did return last night, Joey, but, you know, he didn't exactly lift the Mets' spirits in the way that you wanted him to.
Yeah, no, good old Mr. Smile out there with, you know, up the middle with Baez and Lindor, both of them going 0-for last night, combined 0-for-7. So I know there was a lot of hype going into that game about getting both of them up the middle of the Puerto Rican, you know, the best friend connection in that middle infield, and going 0-for-7 last night. And then even, I mean, I just want to touch on this real quick. The starter last night, how do you say that, Aaron? McGill?
Mahill? Yeah, Tyler McGill.
Tyler McGill, 3 2/3, 11 hits. So he gave up more hits than he got outs, and that's never what you want out of your starting pitcher. So a very tough night for the Mets, and especially the hyped-up middle infield out of Lindor and Baez.
And Aaron, I can finally say this because we were going to see how this series goes. I would say the Mets are at the end of their rope here. They've lost the rope. There's no hands on the rope anymore. The rope's gone.
I mean, again, I do want to get Joey's opinion on their upcoming schedule when we go back to them in a couple of minutes. But you got to think after last night's performance, it's just, you know, like we said, reinforcements are on their way, but you got to be alive to get there.
Yeah, I'm on this ESPN page right now of the Giants-Mets game last night. The first video that comes up, Javier Baez swings and misses badly. That's usually not what you want to see if you're a Mets fan.
That's exactly what the highlights are for the New York Mets at the moment. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Joey's going to see a Pitbull concert, which is very interesting. He's going to be starting his own show up this year, which is extremely exciting. We've got more Yankees talk, more Mets talk, and we'll see who's smarter out of Ladd and Joey in terms of sports trivia. A lot to get to today and a little time to do it. We'll take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. And welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd, and Joey Palatsky here with you today. Ladd, you keep going back and forth with the headphones. You keep picking them up. You keep, you know, taking them on, taking them off. You know, you can't decide what you want to do with them.
No, I can't. Sometimes I look like Lionel Richie as I've got them on.
Because the phone.
Ear.
Yeah, you freak out when the phone calls happen because you have to put them on to listen to that. Joey Palatsky is here with us today as a guest host. He, instead of going to our general interest meeting Friday at 7 o'clock in room 132, the auditorium of MCC, he is going to a Pitbull concert instead.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, today when I told our other two, our podcasting director and our other assistant, Jake Johnson, that you were skipping the interest meeting to go to the Pitbull concert, Liam, not Jake, as my microphone breaks, Liam, not Jake, said, "Who pays to go see Pitbull?"
When you just said who, I thought you were going to say that Liam said, "Who's Pitbull?" And I was going to say, you must be living under a rock. The guy's an international superstar. First off, I think there are more people going to this concert than y'all give it credit for. Pitbull,
I'm not saying
there's
going to
be a lot of people there.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just pointing out what Jake and Liam said this morning.
He's got a lot more hits than you might think. I guarantee if you pull up your Spotify, your Apple Music playlist, whatever it is, pull up whatever however many playlists you have. If you pull up a 500 song ish playlist that
Pitbull
you have,
will be on
you're
going to
have
times.
At least three or four Pitbull songs. International Love is one of my all-time favorite songs. A-Rod used to walk up to that at Yankee Stadium in like 2012. That's what got me on Pitbull. So now it's coming full circle. I haven't been to a concert, and I've been to one concert in my life. So Pitbull is going to be number two, and I'm over the moon excited for it.
So when I think of Pitbull, I think shake, 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 Senora.
Shake your body, man.
Yes, there you go. What else? We've got
Timber. Time of Our Lives.
Oh, Timber. Yes.
It's going down.
He's got a lot more hits than y'all give him credit
for. Fireball is the best one, right?
More hits than you give him credit for.
No, I'm not saying he's not a big artist. I'm just pointing out that you're missing our general interest meeting to go to this concert.
But
that's all that I'm saying.
I just don't think you're going to get anything that special out of the concert. Like, I'll play him on shuffle for you at my house, and I think you'd have the same experience.
But he's in person. I don't think he's had a really like big hit in probably 2 or 3 years.
Mr.
But
Worldwide.
If he keeps playing the hits, dude, if you look up Pitbull on Google, he comes up before the dog.
I wonder how many Pitbull songs we have in the system here.
Probably not many.
There's going to be at least three. I would bet it, no matches.
All right, hold
found.
On. How do you spell Pitbull?
P-I-T-B-U-L-L. Like the dog.
So there's no...
Okay, so
there's
I'm just
no
now learning
Pitbull
W
songs.
The people that put music into the
That's Sky Hosford. Actually, that's a lot of music directors over the years, because we just transferred all our stuff from Enco in here. So
am I wrong to say the music directors don't have good taste in music?
Well, I don't know. You would have to take that up with Sky, who may or may not be listening. She sometimes listens. But we'll see what happens, and we will move on. That's actually kind of unfortunate. I do love Fireball. That is a absolutely fantastic.
And it's be
song.
Insane in concert too.
I bet it will. All right, moving on. Let's get back to the New York Yankees. They've won 11 games in a row. They're finally hitting. It really just seems like they've turned an absolute corner here. And you know, Joey, what do you think as a Yankee fan? What do you think has been the real key to success to this point?
The bats the whole way. I mean, Rizzo and Gallo coming in not just provide bats and obviously the left-handed power bat, but they also just provide, you know, a revamped energy. You bring in Rugi Odor about halfway through the season. He's really been a really solid veteran presence. Then, I mean, Judge is under the radar having an MVP caliber season. Gerrit Cole still the ace. Heaney put in a really good start against Boston. And I mean, even coming into this two-game set against Atlanta, I said we were going 2-0 against the Braves because they were coming in on a 9-game win streak. I think it was the Marlins, the Orioles, and there was one other bad team mixed in there, but the Yanks were coming off against, I know the Red Sox were in there, but I'm kind of blanking on who everyone's been playing recently. But the Yankees have been playing really good teams, and it's not 11 wins against fluky teams. These are all really playoff-caliber teams, and the bats have really been hot. I mean, even the pitching staff, I think it's sitting about a 2.2, 2.3 ERA. It's the best in baseball in the past month, and it's really just unbelievable, really all facets of the game.
And maybe the most unbelievable stat here, last 29 games, 24-5, the best stretch they've had since 1998. And 1998 was a very special year for the Yankees. Beat the Padres in the World Series, won 114 games that season. So this team's on a historic roll. And I'm trying to pull up the splits here from the past month. because I got to imagine it's pretty impressive for the month of August.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, again, it just seems like they do this every year. Like, and this year I think it was a little bit worse. They definitely were playing worse than they have, like, in years past. But they're kind of like, you know, they're playing good, but they're kind of middle of the road for the Yankees. They, you know, they kind of need some kind of spark, and they just find it every year, whether it's in, you know, a guy you've never heard of or in guys that they somehow trade for and get and insert into the lineup and absolutely, you know, light it up. I mean, we've talked about a lot on the show, lad, how, you know, this is the year where they don't have any excuses. No. They've got to get – it's World Series or bust for the New York Yankees this year. And with Gerrit Cole, who hasn't even pitched, by the way, really all that much this season. He's had a couple injuries. He had COVID issue for a month. You know, with Gerrit Cole, there really is no excuse. And with the way they're playing right now, you know, that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, and this is one of those things where the bottom of their lineup, which was their biggest weakness all season – left-handed hitting, bottom of the lineup, just forget about it. In April and May, they were batting 150, 125. It was abysmal. Right now, they've got guys delivering. If I told you Tyler Wade has an OPS over 1,000 this month, you would never believe me, but he does. He has the highest this month out of all of them. Stanton has it up there. Velasquez has it up there. Voit has it up there, and Judge has it up there. So it's been a ton of guys. It hasn't just been Judge and Stanton.
The amount of talent on this team is unbelievable. I fully hearted do not believe that I believe the Yankees were trying to get rid of Luke Voit at the deadline when they brought in Rizzo. I don't think that the plan was to have both guys and then you got to put Giancarlo in the outfield. But first off, Giancarlo has been staying healthier in the outfield. He hasn't faced any type of injury yet. And then bringing in both Gallo and Rizzo, the Italian bats, and then you got Odor as the veteran presence, Andrew Velasquez being an unbelievable story. Judge with the MVP year. Every single guy, 1 through 9 in the lineup, is dangerous. And like Ladd said, the bottom part of the order, whether it be Gary Sanchez, Kyle Higashioka, Tyler Wade, Velasquez, everyone's hitting. Then they just turn it back over to the top, and pitcher's got a face that's probably DJ, Rizzo, Judge right off the rip, and then you roll into Giancarlo. And it's really an intimidating lineup. There's no holes in it whatsoever, and it's a tall task for any single pitcher that's on the mound against these Bronx Bombers.
Yeah, it was DJ LeMahieu getting the job last night done with 2 RBIs. He went 1 for 5. And again, it's just a mixed bag, guys. Stanton had an RBI. Sanchez had an RBI. Odor was, you know.
His home run was bombed.
We were here when they traded for Odor back in April or May or whenever it was. And Ladd and I were like, okay, like, that's, you know, that's definitely an interesting move. Don't necessarily know if they need another infielder. And he's played a ton of games for them this year, Joey.
Rougned Odor is becoming the Udonis Haslam of the New York Yankees. he's not doing much for you on the field. He's, you know, well, I mean, I guess he's slightly better than Haslam with the home run last night. He was bombed, and off the bat, you knew it was gone. But, I mean, he's just bringing the veteran presence, just talking to you guys on the mound, whether it be in English or Spanish. He's settling guys down, or he's hyping them up, whatever it is. But speaking of settling down and hyping him up, I don't know if you guys were watching the game last night, but when Wandy Peralta came in with 2 outs, did you guys see him slapping his face coming in out of the bullpen?
That's an interesting strategy.
He was firing himself up. I mean, Chapman's in the dugout, throws his hat, he's sulking, he's sitting around, and then you got Wandy Peralta coming in, slapping himself in the face, getting fired up. And I think Wandy Peralta should be in conversation for, I mean, it's probably an overreaction at this point, but he should be in the conversation for closing for the Yankees. I think Chapman should have lost the spot. Britton has literally said that he doesn't want the spot, and Wandy Peralta proved last night against an MVP guy that he can get the job done in the big moment.
This is getting dangerous for Chapman because we know Aaron Boone benched Ottavino down the stretch last year, didn't trust him at all, can't pitch the 4th inning, can't pitch the 6th inning. It did not matter. Chapman, if you don't trust him as the closer, Aaron, do you trust him in the 7th inning in the postseason? Like, he just isn't going to pitch.
He hasn't really pitched anywhere other than the 9th inning his entire career. And this is how don't we have this conversation every year with Chapman? Like, oh, we got to get him out of the closer's role. Like, he's not good. He doesn't do anything. And then he'll go on a run where he is good, and people will be like, yup, this is it. This is the man. Aroldis Chapman. It just depends on where you are in the year. You can't pitch him too much, but at the same time, you can't pitch him too little. It's all about finding a perfect medium with Chapman, and Boone, throughout his entire managerial career, has never done that in my eyes.
Yeah, but that 100 mile an hour fastball that, you know, used to be so marketable for Aroldis Chapman, oh, this guy throws 100, throws 101, that's not that special these days. There's a handful of guys in the MLB, I mean, even
when you're throwing 103 miles an hour, it's special.
He's not sitting 103 much.
He's not sitting, but
I mean,
when he can do that.
Right, he's bringing the slider and the splitter this year, but when I fully believe when he throws the fastball, he just has no idea where it's going.
the most worrisome staff for Chapman this year. 1.43 whip in his career. It's never been higher than 1.13 in a season.
And another thing to keep in mind, I think Chapman's one of the pitchers as well who suffered from the sticky stuff not being in use anymore after June 24th. I'm serious. I don't know the spin rates, the exact spin rates, but, you know, it's guys like Edwin Diaz with the New York Mets and Aroldis Chapman who, you know, as soon as the sticky stuff went away, they struggled a little bit as soon as that happened. I think Chapman is sort of still recovering from that.
No, I mean, even his control, he had zero control before the sticky stuff came around. I mean, he just has no idea where the ball's going, and I think this Yankees bullpen really isn't bad. Chad Green got out there last night, and I mean, there's a good amount of guys in the bullpen that can get the job done, and Chapman really all season long just hasn't been one of them.
I wouldn't want to be in the front row. It's just dangerous right now. That ball could go anywhere.
It'll be interesting to see if Chapman can put it together. And the Yankees, still 20 games over 500. They've won 11 in a row. They have off tonight. They'll take on the Athletics on Thursday at 9:40. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the New York Mets, even though I, you know, hate to say it. We'll be right back after this. It's Aaron Valentino. It's Brandon Ladd and Joey Pulaski joining us for Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. I am so distracted by Lad's head bobbing.
I can't even hear it. I just feel it. Am I on beat?
I think you are. This is just, I've never seen anything like
that. He puts the headset on and starts dancing around in there.
Lad's having a dance party on this Wednesday afternoon here in Oswego. It has been so hot. Like the stereotypical hot they talk about when you go to school here in the first like month and a half, it's that type of, it's, and it's like no wind, no, like it gets cooler at night. It's hot. It's sticky from the moment the sun comes up until it comes up again the next morning. Like it has been consistently hot.
I've always said Oswego is kind of an outlier. These Great Lake towns, it doesn't get cold at night for some reason. The temperature difference isn't that big. So you'll have 88 today and you'll have 77 tonight.
It's amazing how warm it stays here. I've always been amazed by how warm it stays until like pretty much the end of October. Like a week and a half before you get to Halloween, it gets cold. But like October, like 7th, 8th, you're wearing shorts, no problem. And you might even be hot some of those days.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the definition of hot summer nights, and you just got to embrace it.
Joe, you have no thoughts on the Oswego weather?
I don't know what happens to the Oswego wind that kills us all winter long. I don't know what happens to it when we get back here, but I mean, I love the warmth. I like the sun being out. So you don't hear complaints about me.
Yeah, but you don't like it being hot and sticky and gross. Like
I got AC in the house. It's all that matters. As long as you got a roof over your head and a cold room to go back to, that's all that matters.
I do know that there are people who don't have AC in their house and they're like suffering greatly.
Zach Case yesterday came over and cried to me for 20 minutes about how hot it is in your house. So I see
Is he crying about how I put the AC in the window a couple days ago?
Yeah,
I did that.
So I see how Joey is now telling us the truth and Case was just overreacting.
If you
yesterday.
Go walk into my living room right now, it's going to be a cool like 67 degrees. Oh. We were saying last night we might start needing the blankets soon. Or we're not turning that air conditioner off because the second we turn that air conditioner
it's
off
gonna get
to
hot.
Sleep, it's going to be 90
yeah.
degrees
yeah,
next
it's going to be absolutely hot. A team that hasn't been hot, great segue, is the New York Mets of Queens, New York. They lost again last night by a final score of 8-0. I think they've lost 2 of their last 10. I think they've probably lost 15 of their last 22 or 16 of their last 22 now. It was Tyler McGill's worst start of the year by far. He gave up 4 homers, 6 runs, and 3 2/3 innings. I mean, lad, this was just an absolute disaster of a game and start for the New York Mets.
It was over before it even began. And McGill, he finally has a typical, prototypical rookie start, I guess. You get beat up by a really good team. And I'm curious how he'll bounce back from this in his next start, if he even gets a next start. But this game last night just hurt for the Mets. You have some hope going into it, not much. And it's the result and the inability to score runs that just has to knock them down even more.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, they save their bullpen a little bit. Trevor Williams is able to get them 2 1/3. Miguel Castro goes 2 innings of his own. But for McGill, 3 2/3, 11 hits, 7 earned, 5 strikeouts, no walks. But the Giants were just absolutely mashing off them last night, Joey.
If you want to be an optimistic Mets fan, Aaron, I know you're probably one of the most pessimistic Mets fans I know. But if you-
I've never, Joey, that's so funny that you say that, and I am going to clip that. I have never heard anybody say that I am a pessimistic Mets fan ever in my entire life.
I would say you are. I feel like I've heard a lot of complaining about these New York Mets, but if you want to look on the bright side, coming up, they're seeing Johnny Cueto and Alex Wood. You're missing Kevin Gausman in the rest of the San Francisco series.
Yes, but the question, you know, the Mets got like almost no hit against Sammy Long last night.
Yeah, they got to stop playing these West Coast teams. These California teams are crushing the Metsies.
And the relief for the Mets last night was Sammy Long. This was going to be the easiest starter you face in this series, and he...
Well, Cueto's making his first starter off the IL, I think.
So, either way, you're facing a guy that had an ERA around 5 going into last night's game, and you get 3 hit in 5 1/3 innings, and once they get to the bullpen... you're not going to come back. So
Especially down 8-0.
Yes, and it's just so degrading. I do like the way you snuck in that they saved the bullpen, so I guess there's a silver lining to everything.
You say, right, a positive Mets fan.
Pete Alonso and McGill combined for 60% of the team's hits last night.
Yeah, Pete Alonso, you know, really all year, and it's been more apparent in the second half, but Pete Alonso really all year has been the only guy on the Mets team. I mean, you could say Brandon Nimmo and J.D. Davis, but they were out for very long periods of times with a couple different injuries. Pete Alonso's been the only guy that's pretty much remained healthy all year, and he's absolutely mashed. I don't know if I want to get into the Pete Alonso discussion now, but, you know, he's just had such a great year. And I think, personally, that dude is on his way. He's not there yet. I think he's got a little bit more to go, but he's on his way to superstardom.
Do you think he's breaking the stigma of the whole, if you go to the home run derby, then your swing's done for the rest of the year? You think people are going to start competing in it because of him?
I mean, hopefully. I would hope so. This year's home run derby was an absolute must-watch. With him, Otani, Trey Mancini,
Vladimir Guerrero,
and Joey Gallo as well. That's what MLB has to do. And Pete Alonso is a perfect example of a marketable player. He gets super hype. He loves his team. He loves his city. He loves the fans. And he's a great hitter. And he's hit all year, Brandon.
And he has hit all year. And it's one of those things where he has a WAR this year of 2.8. Obviously, nothing's going to really get that close to his rookie season. If it does, he's going to be an MVP. But... if you look at it here, he's only in year 3. It's really year 2 1/4because of last season. So he's keeping the numbers up, and people love comparing him to Aaron Judge. They both got a later start in their 20s to start their career. Alonso a little younger at 24. But still, Alonso has kind of better numbers than Judge because Judge has never really put up the numbers that matched his 52 home run season.
But Judge, when he's healthy,
he's never been healthy.
Yeah, he's absolutely on. Yeah. And Joey, no, you continue.
Judge, if you take, besides Otani and Vladdy, I'd say he's probably top 5 in MVP candidates this year. But I mean, I also want to say real quick, the 3-6 last night for the Mets combined 0-13.
Yeah, no, and Joey, this has been the case all year. Like, it's not like this is anything new. Even when they were winning games, they were the worst offense in the league, and now it's just even more detrimental. Like, it's bad, and it's getting worse, it seems like. No matter what they do, you know, even if there have been times this year where, like, it looks like they're going to break out, they're getting guys on every inning. In the San Francisco series in San Francisco, I mean, it seems like that. They were in every single game. But they could never get the big hit, and that's a big reason why. It's why they traded for Javi Baez, and you know he came here a week, won them one or two games, but then went on the injured list and is back today, back a couple days ago, and you know the other guy that came back last night is Lindor, and Joey, they're really hoping that Lindor and Baez can start a spark, and it didn't start off that way last night.
Yeah, I mean, I would say with Lindor coming back, you just hope he needs a couple games, seeing live pitching, get back into it. But the guy's hitting .225 on the year. It's not like he was at a high bar, comes back, has a bad game, and you're hoping with time he'll get back up to that high bar. He's at .225 in the 3-hole for the Mets last night. And I mean, Joey Gallo's hitting .300 for the Yankees, and he's down at about .210, but he's got probably upwards of about 25 home runs this year, and he's surrounded by sluggers. The Mets aren't a deep lineup. No one at the top. I mean, but Pete Alonso.
They should be a deep lineup.
On paper, yes, Nimmo, Alonso, Lindor, Baez, Conforto should be a very dangerous top half of the lineup. But last night they combined for three hits, and two of them were from Pete Alonso.
And I think the issue for the Mets here is they haven't, as you said, you talk about a deep lineup. The reason why they're not deep, all capable hitters have never been hot at the same time. Like, it seemed like Conforto, Davis, and McNeil wasted seasons last year, where if they're hitting the same as they were last year, this year, it would be a different result for the Mets.
Yeah, it would be a completely different story. To get back to Lindor, and I understand your point about 225 and all that, in his last 45 games before he hit the injured list, so this doesn't include last night, his slash line was 274, 363, 484. So he was hitting, you know, maybe not all the way as, you know, he could, but he was very solid in his last 45 games. 45 games is a substantial amount. And you just hope that he can continue that. And hopefully Baez can just get red hot, which you know he absolutely can.
Yeah, no, you know Baez has it in the bat. And there's, like we've been saying, on paper.
You know all these guys have it.
This is an unbelievable lineup on paper. Yeah, I mean, coming into this year, the bar was so high, bringing in Lindor, and you bring back Alonso, and you got Baez at the deadline, and you bring back Conforto and JD Davis, but no one's producing. I mean, it's not even like getting hot at the same time. It's just Pete Alonso in there last night. And I don't know, Aaron, you know the Mets daily lineup better than I do. JD Davis is hitting .295, the highest average in the starting lineup. Why is he batting sixth?
He hasn't played a whole lot. He was injured for most of the year, and he has been hitting lately. Nobody's been hitting lately. It shouldn't matter, though. Like, you know, it shouldn't matter where you put JD Davis.
Think about just flipping the lineup around.
Yeah.
So if you're Luis Rojas, what are you doing to get these guys going?
Well, I mean, this is something we actually haven't talked about, and we're going to run out of time in talking about. Maybe we'll get into this tomorrow or next week. But, you know, Rojas, you know, after all these losses, and this has been a bad stretch of games, this has been a month of bad games. And never has anybody come into the media room and said, like, we're frustrated, this is ridiculous, you know, we have to start hitting. They all say, like, the same thing. Yeah, our approach is a little bit off. Yeah, I'm sure we'll figure it out. We got a great group of guys in there, and we're going to figure it out. Well, damn it, when are you going to figure it out? It's obvious, you know?
Yeah, they're not figuring out this year, and it might result in some new players next year.
A lot of people are expecting big changes this
overhaul.
Offseason.
Should have been sellers at the deadline.
Yeah, well, they were, what were they, like five, six games over .500 and ahead in the NL East at the deadline? I mean, what are you going to do?
People would have ripped them.
Yeah, no, it would have been really bad if that was the case. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, got a little bit of more of a fun segment. We got Joey here. I'll be quizzing the guys on some sports trivia knowledge. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. And welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Lad dancing again. This time to Doja Cat. Lad, this is more our style, the Doja Cat to the world. Yeah. Joey, I don't know if you're an avid listener or not, but
Doja Cat, no sir.
No, not Doja Cat.
Oh, the show. Yeah.
We try and come back on, you know, Olivia Rodrigo and Doja Cat and all those lovely pop people.
Aaron Valentino and Brandon Ladd always got their ears to the streets. They know what's going on out there.
Yeah, we try to. We absolutely try. We don't have Good For You in the system yet, which is just really
it was
so
it was
sad.
The number one song on Spotify for the summer, like globally.
For Good For You?
Yeah, yeah, I saw it on Twitter earlier. Yeah. I don't know why that's not in the system yet.
Because we just got back.
Olivia Rodrigo's
It's been three days. Give Sky a break.
She's a certified hit maker.
Aaron, I want to raise this point to you. When I talk about people who listen to the show, they say they love the show so much, except for when we talk about sports.
Yeah, I know.
That's what everyone says to us.
But then again...
Well, it just
speaks
volumes to the personalities I'm sitting here with.
But then again, we won the Outstanding College Radio Show
Award.
Not just for sports.
Well... Yes, it's not just but in the clip I sent, we were talking about sports.
That's a fair point.
Award-winning sports hour.
The award-winning sports hour. That's exactly right. We're still waiting for that award to come in. Actually, it was really funny. We had Matt and Luke's award out today at the involvement fair, and Liam was kind of looking at it weird, like, because somebody, like, said, like, yeah, we've won various awards, this, that, and the other. I forget who said that. And Liam was like looking at that one weird because it said like 2020 on it. I said, that's not mine, Liam. I'm like, mine's coming in a few weeks. He's like, oh, thank God. He's like, that was, he's like, it was so weird that it said 2020 on it.
Lad, did you hear that? Aaron just called it his award. He didn't say our award. He said my award.
Well, Lad was over in the going-in territory.
Can I get a piece of this award now that I've officially been on the show? Can you just like chip me off a piece of it?
Chip off a piece
if anybody gets a piece, it's honestly Jake because he's been our producer a number of times on the show, and he appeared a number of times on the show as well. So, but no. The award is Lad and I's. It's going to stay here, though.
It should be in the living room at your house.
No, it has to stay here. That's
sadly.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate because I think Zach.
It's probably safer here.
I don't know if Zach gets to take his home.
Yeah, because it's more personal.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I guess I guess Abby decides that. I don't decide. Yeah.
Your guys' award is definitely safer here than in your home.
Oh, that is
true. That's true, but what about when we graduate, you know?
Yeah, it kind of stinks because...
Well, when you graduate, which one of you two would take it?
No, it just
stays
here.
That's why it stays here. I guess that's why it stays here. Yeah. That's very true. So, I had one of my classes last night, sports broadcasting, my first year taking it with David Lurch. And if for those of you who don't know, actually, David Lurch still is on air today. He hosts the Man Child Show with Boy Green down in Syracuse at the Score, 1260. They've done various things over there, and he's a really cool guy. And I'm really excited about the class because it's finally a class that caters to me perfectly. It's all about sports broadcasting. And last night, he gave us a quiz on some various facts of sports knowledge that I was going to bring in today and read to you guys and see how you would do. But unfortunately, this morning I forgot to grab it when I ran out the door at 11 a.m. to get to the involvement fair. But
are you sure his name's David? Because I have a class with a professor named Lurch who has a radio show, and I think it's James.
Is it James Lurch? I could have sworn it was David Lurch.
I think it's James.
I should have said Professor Lurch.
Let's just go with Professor Lurch.
Jake is saying Jim. It's Jim.
Jimmy Lurch.
Yeah. So we're talking
about the same guy.
So instead, I have an app here that has four categories of the four major sports, the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, and the NHL. And I'm going to be asking you various questions, both of you, various questions of the sports trivia. All right? So how are we going to decide who gets it? Do you want to just bang your hand on the table?
Here it goes.
All right, ready?
We just go back and forth. So like I get first, like I guess the first, or Lad can guess the first question, I'll do second, he does.
All right, we'll go with Lad first.
Yeah.
All right, ready? Here we go. We're starting with the NBA. The app is loading up.
I'll get
here
a chance to steal it if Lad gets it.
What college was Dylan Windler from after drafted in 2020?
Dylan Windler, this is an easy one. Belmont.
Yes, correct. Who averaged more points per game in 2020? Carl Anthony Towns or Donovan Mitchell?
This one would be for me?
Yes.
Donovan Mitchell.
Incorrect, Carl Anthony.
Really?
Towns.
Okay, so Lad's up 1-0.
Who had more points per game in 2020, Devin Booker or Luka Doncic?
Lad, that's you.
Luka.
Correct. Joey. similar question.
Too.
Who had more points per game in 2020, LaMarcus Aldridge or Kyle Lowry?
Ooh, Kyle Lowry.
Correct. Who had more points per game in 2020?
Aldridge is a bum now.
Yeah, Aldridge had a heart attack.
Was he even in the league?
He had some heart issues.
Oh, yeah. Should be calling him a bum.
I forgot. He's trying to make a comeback.
who had more points per game in 2020, lad? DeMar DeRozan or Paul George?
Are these all just head-to-heads?
Well, this is what the app is giving me. Maybe this isn't the
You want to change categories?
Yeah, can we change categories? All right.
Lad's up 2-1. Lad's up 2-1 after NBA. Good run.
All right. We're moving on to the NFL, and the app now has an ad. So what are you up, Lad? 2-0?
2-1.
2-1. Next thing out of the app here. All right, we're moving on to the NFL. Here we go. The app is loading. Once again, 3, 2,
who got more points?
What college was Isaiah Simmons drafted from in 2020?
Clemson.
That is correct. Who was drafted higher in 2020, Jeff Okuda or Derek Brown?
Okuda.
Correct.
3-2.
Lad,
3-2.
Who had more passing touchdowns in 2020, Deshaun Watson or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
Correct.
Oh, I would have said Watson.
What? This is an easy one, Joey. What college was Joe Burrow drafted at?
LSU, baby.
Yes.
Go Tigers.
Who had more?
4-3, lad.
Who had more passing touchdowns in 2020? Matt Ryan or Ryan Tannehill?
Ooh. Matt Ryan.
Incorrect.
I got a chance to equalize.
Who
it.
Had
Let's
more
go.
Wins in 2020? A really easy one. The Jaguars or the Houston Texans?
The Texans.
Correct.
4-4, lad. 4-4. I caught him. Let's run.
What? I don't even know if I know this. What college was Jeff Okuda drafted out of?
Oh, Ohio State.
Yeah.
That is correct. Chase Young, where was he drafted from?
Ohio State, right?
Yes, yeah, correct.
Okay. I started
overthinking it. Now I started overthinking it.
All right, that ends the NFL portion.
5-5.
5-5.
So here we go, getting to the MLB.
4 minutes to play.
So, oh wait, are we, so we're doing all four major sports, right?
Yep.
We're gonna close the NHL.
NHL.
Oh jeez.
Who allowed more hits? Who are we on? We're on ladder, right?
Yeah. Lads up.
Who had allowed more hits in 2020? The Houston Astros or the Seattle Mariners?
What is this?
These are all 2020 stats. I love this.
The Mariners had a historic pitching year, so I'm going to go with the Astros.
No, it was the Mariners. Who allowed more hits in 2020, the Giants or the Orioles?
The Orioles. It had to be.
That is correct.
This is ridiculous.
I got my first lead, lad. Let's go.
Who had more hits in 2020, the Tigers or the Yankees?
Yankees.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Who had more runs, the Blue Jays or the Padres?
This is
tough.
So dumb.
That's so tough.
Oh, give me the Blue Jays.
Incorrect.
Wait, what's
so
the score?
So it's 6-6.
It's 6-6. Who, all of these are 2020 stats.
Who allowed more runs in 2020, the Reds or the Indians?
This is unbelievable.
Zap's so bad.
Cleveland.
Cleveland.
This is
no, incorrect.
Oh, my.
This is such fake sports trivia. It's unbelievable.
Joey, I got to refresh to get yours. Hold on.
So it's
Aaron, can we get a new app?
How many wins did the St. Louis Cardinals have in 2020?
Oh, my.
How many? I got to get it on the nose?
All right.
Can I get like a grace period?
I'll give you the option.
That's
34-30.
Oh, I forgot it was a shortened season. I was like, they're not that bad.
True, false?
I thought it was going to be four options. He gave me two. 34-30?
Yeah.
Give me 34.
Incorrect.
Correct.
It was 30.
Jeez.
All right, here we go. Final 50-50. Round, NHL. This has been the worst trivia of all time. Lad, we're starting with you. If I win,
I'm going to brag about
one.
It. If I lose, then
who
I have the
excuse. Who
scored
more goals in 2020, Patrick Lane or Steven Stamkos?
I don't know either. Oh,
Stamkos. What on God's green earth?
I knew that one. Stamkos.
Well, yeah, Stamkos.
Yes, that is correct. Who had more wins, the Blue Jackets or the Wild?
The Blue Jackets? The what?
The Blue Jackets.
The Blue Jackets.
Incorrect.
Aren't
it was the Wild.
Aren't they both awful franchises?
Yes. You got that wrong, Joey. Who had more assists, lad? Zvekov?
Not enough vowels in there, Brera. Not enough vowels.
We'll go with Svetka.
One with the S.
That was correct.
This is the worst app of all time.
One more assist. Evangeli Malkin or Patrick Kane?
Oh, give me Patty Kane.
That is correct.
Let's go.
Lad, who had more points in 2020, Tomas Tatar or Tervano
Taras? Tervano Taras.
Of course,
yes,
right?
That's correct.
Obviously, lad. Right?
Hold on, Joey, for your final question, I gotta refresh.
Lad, are you up one right now? I think you're up one.
So yeah, I'm bad. Up one.
This is so bad. How many wins did the Boston Bruins have in 2020, Joey? 37 or 44?
I was literally gonna say 44. Give me 44.
That is correct.
Before you said the numbers, I should get bonus.
Oh, so
I wanted to know. I was gonna
from
say.
From your mind, can we have an American sports question?
Who? Okay, ready?
Yeah, Aaron, just do trivia off the top of your head.
One of the questions last night was, how many championships did, who has the most, what player has the most championships in NBA history?
Ooh.
And how many did he have?
Oh, are you taking this or am I taking this? I think I got this.
Yeah, I got this too. Joey's going to beat me if I don't get this right. It's Bill
Russell.
Bill Russell,
13.
You said 13? What did you say?
12.
It's 11. Wow, both of you were wrong.
Okay, so we get to do it one more time.
So we both got Bill Russell.
What is
Bill Russell's hockey
team from Nashville?
Predators.
Yeah.
Wow.
Predators. Are we just going rapid fire or what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, who is the all-time NFL rushing leader?
Emmitt Smith.
Yes, very good. Do you know the number?
Oh, it's...
Lurch said the number last night. I couldn't.
I think it's 18,000.
Yeah, it's something stupid, ridiculous. I guess Walter Payton.
That would be a good guess, but Emmitt Smith got 6 yards before he got touched in the 90s.
All right, here's one of the best ones before we go to break here. Who is the all-time leader in major championships in the PGA, and with how many?
Tiger Woods. It's got to be.
Say Tiger Woods. What do you say?
It is Tiger Woods with 80?
No. Major wins.
Major wins. Oh, it's Jack Nicklaus with 18.
Yes, that's correct.
You just know that off the top of your head?
I actually knew that, too.
I'm a huge golf fanatic.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I got right on the quiz last night, too. I couldn't think of, and I was so mad at myself. I couldn't think of the Rams head coach. I put
McVay.
So I had Sean Mick written down, but I couldn't think the last part of Mick. So I wrote McDermott because that's the only name that came to mind.
The Bills coach.
But I know it's Sean McVay. who is, like, I think is one of the best coaches in the
NFL. I'm going to come back on here at some point when we have, like, legitimate questions.
Yeah.
Who scored the most points
in 2020? When I'm not just yelling Svedka out loud and getting questions right.
Who scored more points in 2020, LaMarcus Aldridge or Kyle Lowry? What are we doing, boys?
We'll wrap up the show when we get – we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Aaron Valentino, Joey Pulaski, and Brandon Ladd here with you on Sports Hour. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd, and special guest Joey Pulaski here with you on this Wednesday. So, Joey, the reason why you're here today is have you had a radio show on WNYO before?
No, I did the hockey pregame shows with you for high school last year, but
freshman year. Really?
Freshman year, I just commentated sports. I was going to get into it last year, and then COVID stuff, and we couldn't get in the studio, and here we are this year.
That was my biggest attraction to NYO, was the radio show.
Well, I was calling my first volleyball match in a week, and, like, I will shout, join WNYO from the mountaintops to anyone that comes here. It's so easy, like, hands-on stuff, but no, I didn't hop on the radio show.
That's how I started.
Yeah, that's how we both started.
Yeah.
With the Unknown Strike Zone. One of the greatest shows in WNYO history, ended by a brutal,
just ridiculous
contract negotiation between Brandon Ladd and WNYO.
I was a guest caller on the final episode of the Mike and Pat Experience, or the Pat and Mike Experience, whichever one.
Experience Pat and Mike.
Yeah, I was a guest caller on their final episode, but now my radio history doesn't roll too deep.
Is tomorrow Thursday?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I do not know what's going to happen at 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh yeah, that's right. You have an hour in between shows. I guess you'll plan it with Abby.
Yeah,
when you'll plan the show.
I gotta figure some things
out. Oh, is tomorrow the first episode?
Yeah,
it debuts.
Big day. What are you guys gonna talk about?
The fair, Deb Stanley, COVID test.
It's not
a big day.
Yeah, you're a little nervous, I think.
I just can't think of anything.
You got big shoes to get into.
Pat and Mike were just such naturals.
They claim, and I don't know how true this is, they claim, like, we don't do, like, very in-depth planning for the shows. We know what we're going to talk about, but then we kind of, like,
looked at a rundown in months.
I doubt they did any rundowns. They just sat here and talked.
They claim that they had no idea what they were going to talk about each time. They just went in and started talking.
I believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that.
Should I continue the tradition and just do that?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if you and Abby, like, no offense to you and Abby, but I don't know if you got, like, I don't even have the talent for that. I got to know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, Mike and Pat have both
Remember the last
time? They have the chemistry, they have the humor.
Do, but the last radio show I did by myself, Aaron, you remember the meticulous prep
my God.
I would do.
Yeah, it was hours.
Yes.
Yeah, it was hours. And you were by yourself, so it was a little bit different.
Yes.
And I think part of that also comes with, you know, natural ability of doing the show more, this, that, and the other thing.
Yes.
But, you know, I remember, like, the one time we didn't plan out a show is when we did the merger, and, like, we had no plan. We didn't meet because we didn't have time. And, like, that was, like, the worst show we ever did.
Yeah.
So.
And we've had shows, but we have more chemistry now.
We did back in the day.
Yes, we are married at this point.
Yeah, we live together. Yes, we do the show together. Much. We're, you know, we're, like, even when, like, you know, like, today, you like, left the house and, like, immediately texted me something.
Yes.
Yeah, constant communication.
I would call Zach Case and I a very solid bromance WNYO crew.
It is a bromance.
You're a package duo.
Right, but I feel like there's plenty of... I was delightfully surprised when I got here, and there's so many OG bromances before me between you two and Brian and Pat and Mike.
We always laugh about this because everyone says
a lot of great duos.
Aaron and Brian are the bromance.
Yeah, the original bromance is Brian and I. Like, I don't know if you know this.
Why can't it be an open relationship and just have the three of y'all?
I mean, I guess. But, you know, in the beginning when Brian and I were... Brian is still obviously very involved in TOP. But in the beginning, it was Brian and I, like, you know, we were the... And Mike Gross was involved in that too. But Brian and I were really good friends. Gross is our friend. But Brian and I would hang out after shows and things like that. And, you know, Brittany really took a liking to the two of us. But that was the original. We are up for, like, TOP best friends every single year.
Is there a picture of you two and Brian Redmond from freshman year? Because I would love.
I don't know if there's a picture of all of us.
I'm trying to think.
We didn't hang out a ton.
Well, you didn't come.
Ladd was probably too cool for Aaron and Brian.
Well, no. What happened was Ladd and I, like, we were like colleagues kind of freshman
year.
And we really didn't start hanging out until the end of freshman year when we decided to live together. And we really didn't become like great friends until sophomore year.
Boys came a long way.
Yeah.
We have come a long way. And in the beginning, I was just hanging out with Jake and Kevin.
Yeah. And the three of you got really close for, you know, reasons that, you know, can't really be explained.
Nightlife.
Nightlife here at Oswego State. Before we wrap up, we actually had this section blank, which is, you know, why we started talking about friendships.
We fill it all the time.
Yes, we fill it all the time.
You guys just fill it, like, just
The last, well, sometimes we only have 3 minutes, because if there's a show next to us, you know, we try to get out of here minutes early.
Right. Yeah.
So normally we leave it blank anyway, but you were going to read a stat that you had for us about the Yankees lineup.
Yeah, well, Yankees lineup, last time they won 11 straight games, this was from September 10th, 1985. Ricky Henderson, Ken Griffey, Don Mattingly, Dave Winfield, Ron Hassey, Dan Pasqua, Mike Pagliarulo, Rex Hudler, Bob Metchum, and Ed Winston on the mound.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable.
That is absolutely crazy.
And now we're rolling
out
specimens. I mean, I guarantee none of those guys are half as strong or bench half as much as Judge or Stanton. Or baseball's come a long way, boys.
But, Joey, the main reason you're here is you're starting your shadowing hours
for
your show with Brian Rudman this year. You want to talk a little bit about that before we end the show today?
Yeah, it's going to be yours truly, me, Joey Palatsky, alongside Brian Rudman in here in the WNYO studio. We're going to call it On the Horn. It's going to be talking some national sports, you know, whatever the biggest headlines are when it's – I figure it gives us some flexibility. So when it's football season, we can talk football. When we talk baseball season, we talk baseball. So we're not really stuck to talking sports that are, you know, out of season. So we're just going to talk the biggest national sports. We're going to give our unique perspectives. And Brian and I were we were buddies last year, and then he came up to the Albany Dutchman this summer, and we spent probably about 8 hours a day, 3 or 4 days a week for the better part of 2 months together. So we got a lot closer. It's going to be some good chemistry on the show. He brings a very solid, more professional perspective to it, and I'd consider myself a little bit more of a degenerate. So I think it'll be an interesting.
It's gonna be an
duo.
Interesting dynamic.
It'll be a great show. It's gonna be On the Horn, and it's gonna be.